The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The 80th anniversary of D-Day this year, on the 6th of June 1944, the largest combined land, air and naval operation in history happened, considered to be one of the greatest triumphs by the Allied forces during World War II. 156,000 troops landed by sea and air on the north coast of France to liberate mainland Europe from the Nazis. And Henry McKean's granddad landed on Sword Beach 80 years ago.
I'm here in Normandy, and that is the sound of the waves. 80 years ago, the D-Day landings happened on this beach and many beaches nearby as the Allies finally confronted the Nazis to beat tyranny on mainland Europe. 80 years ago, my granddad landed here with hundreds and hundreds of other troops, and he survived. But many, including Irish, died at this very spot.
Well, Henry joins me now. Henry, tell me about your granddad.
Pat, yeah, my granddad, George Borney from Jersey, which is just off Normandy. He joined the army in 1939 when war broke out, and he married my grandma on Stephen's Day in 1939 in Jersey. My granny was an Irish nurse from just outside Middleton in Cork, Anne Millerick, and they met at the hospital ball in Jersey General in 1937. And believe it or not, he actually went back to rescue her, to put her on the last ferry to England before the Germans occupied Jersey. He rose through the ranks quite quickly. And remember, there was Sword Beach where he was being shot at. And he always said that the film Saving Private Ryan, that was filmed in Wexford, was the closest there was to the devastation on that day. There was Utah Beach, Omaha Beach, Gold, Juno and Sword. And I got to take the Stena Vision Ferry from Rosslare and then drove to the beach where my grandpa landed 80 years ago, Pat.
Now, your granddad has passed, but you got more information from your mother. What did she have to say?
I did. My mum gave me the background to my granddad and basically helped me fill in some of those gaps from the past. And remember, they must have been so brave to do what they did. Here is my mum, Rosemary McKean, talking about her dad, Major George Borney.
Your dear grandpa, Major George Francis Borney from Jersey, aged 28 years, and my darling father, was heavily involved in the horrors of D-Day on Tuesday, June the 6th, 1944, 80 years ago, Operation Overlord. He and his company of the RASC, Royal Army Service Corps, left their amphibious landing craft about 7:30 a.m. onto Sword Beach in Normandy. They encountered a barrage of heavy machine gun fire from the German pillboxes. Thousands of British and Allied soldiers perished or were seriously injured. The beach was also heavily mined. My father chose to leap early from the ramp into deep water with his men to avoid enemy fire. But as a young girl growing up, and like most veterans, he was reluctant to share his war experiences with me. However, you and your three brothers tried to quiz him often. It was only in November 2002, close to Remembrance Sunday, a few weeks before your grandfather died, whilst caring for him, that he divulged the graphic details to your father, Hamish, of the hell that he and others faced on D-Day and after. By the grace of God, it was a miracle that he survived. The hellish hand-to-hand combat. It was kill or be killed. Lest we forget the ultimate sacrifice that the Allied and British forces made for the victory on the Western Front. Your grandfather will be delighted that you, Henry, visited Sword Beach close to the 80th anniversary of D-Day 2024.
It's extraordinary that he was reluctant to talk about it, as indeed many of the Irish who were involved in D-Day didn't say much about it. Do we know how many Irish were involved?
Well, this is it. And just hearing my mum there, I know she did sound quite emotional. And for me, it was just chilling. Here is Dan Harvey Lieutenant Colonel, retired military author and military historian, and he wrote a book called The Bloody Dawn, The Irish and D-Day, about the Irish involvement.
The number of Irish who joined the British Army, it was 120,000, broken down as 70,000 from southern neutral Ireland and 50,000 from northern loyal Ireland. So that's an unusual statistic, and it's one that embarrassed both governments, so it was kept censored under the censorship laws and is only now beginning to emerge. And there is indeed a strong body of evidence that there was 150,000, because if you go to the next of kin, there's believed to be 150,000 addresses of next of kin. And a number of people fought under assumed names, and we haven't even spoken about the Irish that were in Britain. So I'm giving 120,000. I believe it's well in excess of 10,000 of that.
And when we take D-Day itself, it was so bloody for both the Allies and the Nazis, and there was so much death. And a lot of Irish were there on the day, and a lot of Irish died. In your research, what can you tell us?
The Irish were all over D-Day. They were planning it. They were code-breaking. They were part of the initiatives that got new vehicle types that would be obstacle-breaking. And then, of course, there was the tough end, the hard end, those fighting. They gave a great contribution. And indeed, one a man called Redmond on Sword Beach won a military cross. So the Irish have a very proud involvement. And it's a little unusual that, you know, we're still reticent to commemorate and celebrate that involvement 80 years later.
And that's Dan Harvey, retired Lieutenant Colonel, an author and military historian. Now, Henry, on your travels, you met the French in Normandy. How are they planning to mark the 80th anniversary of D-Day?
Well, Pat, yeah, there's lots of events taking place to mark it. Stena Line have daily ferries going to Cherbourg from Rosslare. Check out basically Normandy Tourism France online. And here is Julien Bougon, Deputy Director of the Normandy Tourist Office.
So, wish you a warm welcome to Cherbourg and Normandy. Yeah, 2024 is a very big year for us. Indeed, it will be the 80th anniversary of the D-Day, and very special in Cherbourg indeed, because it was the first time in history that we commemorate officially the D-Day.
And before, Cherbourg kind of shied away from celebrating the anniversaries. Why?
So there's no real reason, but after the liberation of Cherbourg, Cherbourg decided not to commemorate. And we never had any official, you know, ceremonies or any official anything, because we guess that the major at the time, after liberation, didn't want it to get into the commemoration. So that's something in the past now. And now, 8 years after, we are ready to have an official ceremony on the 7th of June.
You have some huge world leaders coming, I understand. I understand Biden might come, Macron might come. You have a connection, don't you, to the Second World War?
It's a big connection, because everything which happened in Utah Beach, we have five D-Day landing beaches in Normandy. One, the closest one to Cherbourg, is Utah Beach. It was used, the landing of the Allies in Utah Beach was to free a deep water port, which was the port of Cherbourg. So we have a huge connection. The D-Day what happened in Utah on the 6th of June, and the liberation of Cherbourg was on 26th of June. So it took 3 weeks for the Allies to get to Cherbourg and to free the only deep water port in the area.
And they did free it, but I understand the Germans had already blown it up.
Exactly. So what happened, it's the Germans didn't expect it, a landing in Normandy, and they expected after D-Day to be taken, the port of Cherbourg to be taken by the sea, not by the land. So they blowed everything, all the port away, but the Allied took 3 weeks, as I told you, to come to Cherbourg, and they came by land, and they took Cherbourg. So my grandmother was in Normandy during, all the occupation and D-Day. And it was they always talked about the experience of, those times to us. And mainly she was in Caen, working in Caen, and she left just before the bombing, and she returned to her home, you know, home in the countryside. And what happened when D-Day happened, that most of the people in the area helped the Allies to find where the Germans were. So that's basically what they were telling us. And all those years, 4 years of occupation.
So it must have been hard. But, and they did absolutely bomb, the Germans bombed the hell out of her town. Everything was lost.
Yeah, everything was lost. People were killed, actually. So, yeah, it was a big relief for in somehow that he could leave before the bombings, but yeah, some friends of her died during those bombings, so it was a hard time, really hard.
And that's Julien Bougon, the deputy director of the Normandy Tourist Office. Now, he mentioned Utah Beach,
yep.
And you went there. That's where the Americans landed. What was it like?
Yeah, the Americans, with their beaches, they've turned them into real commemorations. And some of them, I think, are now even American state property. Whereas Sword Beach, where my grandpa landed, there was an ice cream stall. It was just like an everyday beach. And the Americans, Pat, and the Irish, their relatives were there to pay their respects. I got to meet some of them.
I have been really amazed and even more appreciative of those who did what I wouldn't myself do or couldn't
so
myself
you
do.
You couldn't see yourself coming in off that beach and being shot at?
No.
Well, I'm a retired Army, and I had a transportation battalion, and we had mike boats, much like the ones behind us here.
Because we do have a replica behind of one of these boats, which was able to land on the beach.
That's right.
And amphibious.
It's amazing to think about the sacrifices all of these young men made at the age of 18, 19, 21 years old. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just amazing to see their sacrifices.
Relations in Tipperary and County Cork.
Yes.
And so many Irish fought alongside the Americans and fought alongside the British. And they're not always remembered. And so many died on that day too.
We were all together back there during World War II fighting together against the evil empire.
I'm having a chat with Evan. You're just 12 years of age. You're
yes.
a scout.
I am.
Where are you from?
I am from America, but I live near Frankfurt in Germany.
And the fact that, you know, they are bases in Germany, mm-hmm. left over from the Second World War,
yeah.
here on Utah Beach. Being a 12-year-old, what do you think of it all?
I think it's just so amazing that brave young men fought to give their lives to free France and all of Europe.
And you thought they were very brave?
Yes.
And could you do something like that?
Probably not. I think it was very cool and honorable that they just stormed the beaches knowing the defenses that they had here.
And knowing that they could die, and many did.
Yeah. I think the paratroopers were extra brave because they knew that they could get shot down, land off course, drown.
Just to be able to bring the kids down here to see and experience the history and see the what their grandfathers and great-grandfathers did for the world.
And it is. It's incredibly moving, and there's a cold in the air, not just in the breeze, but you can feel the suffering that our ancestors went through.
Yeah, so today, you know, it's gloomy, it's overcast, it's quite windy. There
You've just lost your hat.
It's quite windy, but it's very similar weather conditions from June 6th, except it was a little warmer on June 6th. Thank you. To experience what it was like to come out in that icy, frigid, cold water and then move up this beach with the Germans, with their emplacements, with their artillery and shooting machine guns at them and everything, and just coming knowing that, you know, at any second I could perish. But in what they were fighting for was to free, you know, all of Europe.
Americans with Irish heritage remembering their relatives who were involved in D-Day. Henry, many Irish were involved in the mm-hmm. D-Day story, including a postmistress. Tell me the story.
Yeah, so Maureen Sweeney, a postmistress, on her 21st birthday, she took a weather reading in Black Sod in the post office in County Mayo. Back then, the Postal Service actually took weather readings and they would share them with the Allies before Met Aaron. Here is her grandson, Fergus Sweeney, telling the story.
Yeah, it's quite incredible to think that Black Sod played this pivotal role in, you know, in the biggest amphibious invasion in human history. She had detected the bad weather. That those readings were sent to London and on to Portsmouth, where Allied Command were based. And again, as that storm moved across Ireland and into France, and as it started to move out again kind of further east, she would have sent second readings which indicated the high pressure coming, which meant that was the window that the Allied commanders had been looking for, this break in the good weather. So she postponed it, but she also gave the readings which allowed them to say, well, look, it's going to happen on June 6th. And I suppose for us, it's amazing. We always grew up knowing that they had supplied this data. But I guess as you get older in life and you appreciate D-Day and World War II, you realise how significant this reading was. And so, it's amazing. And we're so proud that she has a part in world history.
And she lived to 100 and a half, we've got to remember the half, dying just last December. Now having a stamp on post, have a special stamp, how does that make you feel? How do you think it would make her feel?
Yeah, I think she'd be smiling. She would definitely like to know there's a stamp out there with her name on it. I think maybe publicly she'd kind of say, you're daft, why are you doing that? There's other people could be on the envelope, you know. But I think she definitely liked a little bit of the attention towards the latter years, you know, and I mean, she recognised what she had done herself as well. And I think, to see her on a postal mark and you know, to have people talk about her on a kind of worldwide level is just incredible for us as a family. Maureen came on shift at the post office in Blacksod at midnight, which was her birthday. The clock struck 12, she turned 21. So I guess while the rest of us might be out celebrating until 3 or 4 in the morning, Maureen was doing ground readings at Blacksod weather station on her 21st birthday.
And to get that reading, phone calls came in from command centres, and quite a few phone calls came through.
Yeah, that's right. So they issued, the readings went out at about 3 a.m. and then sometime around 9 a.m. that morning, 9:30, Allied Command actually rang the post office in Blacksod. My grandmother always said it was a squeaky voiced English woman who wanted her to check her numbers and repeat the numbers. So that lady rang twice, and then there was a third phone call, and my grandmother actually, she was convinced she had made a mistake. So she asked my granddad, who had just turned up, if he would take the call. So he answered the third call, and this time it was a male voice. We don't know who it was. Could have been one of Group Captain James Stagg, one of the head weather guys. So basically once those phone calls came in, that was Allied Command just confirming those readings, and they would then have to wait a further 24 hours into June 4th before they could give their advice to General Eisenhower.
Extraordinary. That's Fergus Sweeney talking about the role that his 21-year-old grandmother played on the events of D-Day. Now, you also visited the Airborne Museum, Henry. Tell me about that.
Well, this was fascinating in Saint-Mère-Église, basically celebrating the American paratroopers, the 82nd and the 101st, 101 Airborne Division. And they basically parachuted in behind enemy lines, and the risks they took, and so many of them drowned in huge numbers to basically free Europe from tyranny. They had interactive exhibitions, planes from the time, really worth a visit. Actually, in June, those surviving paratroopers who are now perhaps 98, 99, 100 years of age are actually coming over. They'll be coming over in June. I also speak to Visit Jersey, the island my granddad is from.
So my name is Magali Mallet, and I'm the director of the Airborne Museum.
80 years on, what does this mean for the neighbourhood, for the community?
It's a big anniversary, because it's the 80th, of course. I would say that all the anniversaries are important, but this one it's important because we know that it's the last one for the veterans. So most of them are 98 years old, so of course we know that's the last chance to see a veteran, to meet a veteran. So this is why it's important, the 80th anniversary. And this 80th anniversary, it's important for the museum because it's the 60th anniversary of the museum. So it's a double anniversary for us.
So it's very important. And for you, remembering, how important is it remembering all those brave men who jumped out of an aeroplane to try and liberate your neighbourhood, mm-hmm. and so many of them were shot by the Nazis, these paratroopers?
Yes, of course, here we were liberated by the American paratroopers. So on D-Day, 13,000 paratroopers were dropped in here. And we have to keep in mind that 2,000 of them were killed at the end of the day. So we, of course, we do not forget that.
Tricia Warwick, Chief Executive of Visit Jersey. And I know that Jersey, it means so much to us. And as you know, we celebrate 80 years next year, because we were liberated a bit later. And so when you come to Jersey, it's so evident what part the German occupation played for us on the island. We have bunkers, an enormous number of bunkers all along the coastline. We have an underground war hospital that was never used. And so the memories of that and still today, you can come and see all this. It's tough, I think, commemorating the years as they go by, but I think it's also important that we remember.
Jersey was the only part of Britain that was occupied. Mm.
It is true, and that is not necessarily well known these days. You know, people don't often realise that. And I think that's where we have to, it's our job really to tell that story as well, particularly from a visitor point of view. And that's why when so many people are coming here from the US, from Europe, from the UK to Normandy, we want to make sure they get the opportunity to come and see what life was like in Jersey during that time as well.
Henry Robert Borney McKean, following the footsteps of his grandpa, George Borney, who landed at Sword Beach during the Normandy landings 80 years ago. Henry, thank you very much for a really brilliant report. One communication from Mark Meen. He said, I found my grandfather's paybook from the British Army. It says he was in France, Germany, June 44 to September 45. He was part of the RASC transport company. He never spoke of the war, but based on his paybook, he probably landed on D-Day. He went to Belfast to join the British Army in 1940 as a 34-year-old. I am very proud of him, although I never met him. Eugene Coughlin was his name, and he was from Clontarf in Dublin.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.